As we turn into page 74, what we want to be doing is we want to be looking at the basic approaches that the world uses. Now, we're not going to put people's names in here because I don't want you getting mad at me, but there are literally people behind each system here that started it, and they're all that have started these groups are anti-Christian. I'm just going to be honest with you, because it's a secular model, and it's in opposition to Christ. And before we get into that, the problem is a lot of folks, like I went to the New Orleans Baptist Seminary, a very good seminary, very solid conservative seminary, but they don't agree with me. They believe that we can integrate the truths of this world with God's Word. Matter of fact, they don't even teach biblical counseling at New Orleans Seminary. They don't train the pastors. They don't do anything in the scriptures or training. You get more training in this class than any minister graduating from the New Orleans Baptist Seminary in counseling from the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? Now, you know what's awesome about it is you start to look at this stuff, though. James Dobson one time, which Dr. Dobson says a lot of things that are good, and I hate to say this, sometimes you have to listen to Dr. Dobson. Sometimes he says things that are not biblical, okay? But you're good stewards of the Word, just like he is. Just go to the Word. When he's not right with the Word, then you don't obey him. You listen to the Word. But he says a lot of good things, and I love Dr. Dobson. One thing I heard him say one time that really hit home with me is he was talking about his children. And his children wanted to go out and watch a rated R movie. And he said, "Dad, you know, we're older now. We're 15 and 16. We can go see these kind of movies." And he goes, "Well, I'll tell you what. Let me think about it to tomorrow afternoon. And then you come back home, and we'll talk about it tomorrow afternoon." So they came back home the next day, and he said, "Look, I cooked y'all up some brownies here." And he said, "We'll talk about it while you're eating." So they cut them some brownies, and they had in front of them. They were about ready to put it in their mouth. And he said, "Oh, by the way, it's no big deal. I went ahead and put a little of the dog poopy in the brownies. Just a little, though. Just a little." And all of a sudden, they just stopped. They said, "What? What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I just put a couple of spoonfuls. I mean, it wasn't that much. I mean, why are y'all getting all upset about it? It's just a little bit." And they said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, that's what you're doing to yourself when you go to look at these movies. You're just putting a little junk in it, a little of the world, a little of Satan. And you say it don't really matter. But evidently it does." And you see, that's what we have to remember. Look, there are a lot of good folks out there who are Christians. There's a lot of good folks out there who are not Christians, who are trying to do people some good. The problem is that they don't believe this is the truth. So where do they have to start from? They have to start from a secular evolution worldview. They have to believe that man is an animal. They have to believe that man in general is good. But basically, you know, his problem is that he needs to have some, as we're going to start to see here, these modifications. And the problem is, when you move away from this as a Christian, you have really already lost the battle. Matter of fact, the great apologist, Van Til, if you ever hear this guy, he is with the Lord now, but he was the first great apologist known in all last century. I mean, he did tremendous writing. He said, the moment you leave this book, and he said, people will invite you to come fight him on a neutral level. He said, it's not a neutral level. You see, when you leave this book, you've already lost the battle. Because outside of the revealed word of God, you have no grounds. You have nothing. So we got to stay with the Word. But let's look what the world says about us. Check page 74. As we look at the basic approaches to solving personal problems. Instinctual. You see, first off, the basic view of man, I'm going to use the column to the left, and we're just going to go one column at a time. It's driven by instinct. Instinct does things, fight, flight, seek food, and gratification. You move down a level, it says cause of problems. Instincts are thought by society, family, upbringing. So what's the cure for helping society? What's the cure according to this model? Follow instincts. Throw off the church. Throw off your parents. Throw off all that teaching. Do what you want to do. And then you'll be happy. Counseling techniques, as you see there, all this psychoanalyzing, hypnosis, psychodrama, resocialization, all these words, counselors' terminology that they use, as you see there, and it don't take a mental giant to see who this is coming from. Matter of fact, the person that started this part here is Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud was the modern-day father of psychology. Anybody know when he started his practice? Easter Sunday. That ought to tell you something. In opposition to the Christian faith. He's good friends with another guy as over the course of time, and they built these models, and really the psychology model was built out of Darwinism, evolution. And that's where he started this from. So what's the counseling focus? The counseling focus is to liberate self, which is contrary to Ezekiel 18, 20, and 21 in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, which says basically, as we look at the scriptures, what does Philippians 2, 3, and 4 say? If you happen to beat me there, read it for me. Well, I'm here. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So there we have a contrast between the world's way of instinctual counseling and the Word of God. Then we move into the next lever. Next lever is behavioral. B.F. Skinner, this is his model of counseling. The basic view of man is behavior is condition or program. Do you remember when you were in school, you read in a little psychology book, maybe a class you took, they had the dog that ran and rang the bell and then the food would come? You remember what that was called? What was that model called? That's right. That's what this was based on here. So they say humans are basically animals and we can train them. We can recondition them. That's the cure. Cause of the problem is wrongful influence by environment and circumstances. The cure for that is recondition or reprogram. Now, obviously, as a human being, we can see when people are raised in a wrong environment, you know, they don't come out right, you know, a lot of times. But it's not definite that they're not going to turn out all right. Because we're all responsible. We have to become responsible. And we all have different circumstances and things that we grow up in, which we call our environment. So we're not saying that, but what we're saying is that a person is responsible. It doesn't matter if they grew up in a home that was bad, you know, or a home that was good or whatever. Because we see a lot of people that grow up in good homes and they turn out bad, right? You see? So as we look at this set of counseling, it's reconditioning, reprogramming. What are counseling techniques? Manipulation of behavior by use of positive and negative stimuli. Trained to respond to reward, that's the dog thing, and punishment. Counselor's terminology, stimulus, conditioning, automatic response, positive and negative reinforcement, self-fulfillment, self-improvement. The counseling focus for this behavior model is down at the bottom, improve self, which is contrary to John 15, 4 and 5, which Jesus says you can do nothing without him. Romans 1, 18 through 32 shows you what the self-focused person does. He's the depraved person, as well as James. So we move into our third model, positive potential. This is the Rogerian model. Now, this is the model where you see the psychologists or who don't give feedback. They just sit there and stroke their beard. You know, recently I went to an IABC conference in March of this year, and it was in Clayton, Georgia, and the guy speaking was Richard Gantz, who was a licensed psychologist, psychiatrist, and he worked in a hospital in New York City. by God's grace in a miraculous way, he went on vacation and wound up getting saved, came back to the place. And what's interesting is in his testimony, he talks about when people used to come to him for counseling, he charged them $150 an hour. And he said, I would sit there and stroke my beard and think, well, do I want to go to the beach this weekend or do I want to go to my mountain house this weekend? And he said, that's what we did, because we wasn't supposed to tell them anything because they had what was in them to get it right, to be able to fix it. So that's the model that we see here, this positive potential model. Basic view of man, he's introverted, good, has everything necessary within self to solve own problems. What's the cause of problems? Mind blocked by negative thinking or influences. What's the cure? Release potential within self. Counseling techniques, reflection of thoughts and feelings. No presentation of answers. Draw out of the counselee's own inner resources. Positive thinking. Counselor's terminology, inner potential, inner goodness, self-assertion, self-esteem, self-worth. What's the counseling focus? Elevate self. Now, Matt talked about this a little bit early, that man is depraved. Let's turn over to Romans 3 and see what God thinks of man before he's saved. Romans 3:10. This is what God thinks about man before he's saved. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. Together there is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their path, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Look at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't paint a real good picture of man, does it? See, and that's the problem. You have the world saying man is good and God saying man is depraved. Then we move into this next column. And I have to be honest with you. There are Christians and non-Christian in the spiritualist column that we have here. Basic view of man, helpless before all spirits. Cause of problems committed to or under control of spirit, demons, ancestors. What's the cure? Appease the ancestors. Appease or cast out demons. Discover your spiritual guide. Counseling techniques, potion, charms, curses, ritual offering, communion with spirits, horoscopes, visualization. Counselor's terminology, curses, the God within you, the higher power, the appeasal of spirits, the binding of demons, generational sins, demons or spirits of anger, fear, lust. Counseling focus, release self from bondage. Now this is important. Because see, what has happened is you still have a focus on self. You see, and God's way is for us to take our eyes off ourselves and to put it on Him. And it's very important that we understand these things. You know, there are demons in this world, and we need to be understanding that. We don't need to be, as Ephesians says, we don't need to be, you know, not wise to them. We need to look and see the work that they're doing, but realize this, you have a much greater battle right in here than you got with any demon. Let me tell you something. This is wicked, Jeremiah says. And just because we're saved, the Lord has to keep cleaning it and cleaning it and cleaning it. Now we have to understand there are wicked folks out there, and there are wicked demons out there. Ephesians 6 talks about that. But it also tells us what all weapons are. What are all weapons? Prayer, the Word of God. We need to remember that when we're in the battle. Now, as we kind of shift gears, we're going to move over to the column that's God's way, not man's way. By the way, before we get into this God's way, I want to mention one other one that's not in this book. When this book was made back in the 70s, this manual, it wasn't as primary as it is today. You know, we need to have a whole column on sorcery, which is the use of drugs. You see, because what's happening now is that you go to a lot of doctors, they won't even require counseling for you. If you go in and you're depressed, immediately they write you a ticket for medicine. And they try to fix everything. And listen, I'm not saying that somebody doesn't need medicine. Please hear me out. There have been plenty of times I used to work for four Christian doctors doing counseling for their people. And there would be people come in, they'd be so depressed, so down that they're physically sick. And they would have to give them some stuff to get them to the place where they could at least talk to somebody. But there are plenty of counselors. As a matter of fact, there's one in Spartanburg. He writes, from what I gather and what I'm told, over 5,000 scripts a month. He don't even talk to his people. Matter of fact, I was counseling a few of them. I said, does he ever talk to you? They said, no, he just writes a script for us and hands it to us. And we're taking this medicine, but it's not solving the problem. Well, I'm not saying that the problem's always sin, but what I'm saying is God has given you wisdom. God has given you grace. God has given you His Word. You know, what hope do we have if all we have to rely on is a pill that we got to keep taking, and we never have the freedom that God promised us? I'm going to have to be honest with you, too. This medicine dulls the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Because, see, you can't really feel conviction. Can't really feel a whole bunch of stuff. Because you're on this medicine and you're numbing yourself to the work that God wants to do in your life. Now, if you're on medicine tonight, please don't walk out of here and quit taking your medicine. Work with your doctor. Many a times, those doctors help folks get people off the medicine as we counsel and as we dealt with it. And we knew what the withdrawal symptoms was going to be, and we worked towards that. It's a working relationship. So don't walk out of here and don't ever tell anybody to quit taking their medicine. But if someone comes to you and says, hey, I want to work towards getting off my medicine, say, go work with your doctor on that. Most doctors will help you. You got a few out there that won't. It's like a girl. Let me give you an example. I had a lady when I was at a sister church as associate pastor. She came to me one day and she said, Brother Johnny, I've been on Prozac. I said, for what? She said, I went to the doctor for a rash, and he gave me Prozac. And, you know, and I was on it about 3-4 weeks, and it cleaned it up. So I quit taking it. And I went back for something else, a cold or something, like 3 months later. And he asked me, was you still on Prozac? And I told him no. And he said, look, you got to stay on that the rest of your life. The rest of your life. Now, he may be excess. I doubt it. To be honest with you, I think that's the general practice of most folks going that way. So we have to be careful. You're going to have a lot of folks that are going to come to you for help. You're going to have a lot of people in your church that's going to need help. And they're on medicine. You can't beat them up. Listen, they're suffering. We got to love them. We got to help them. Now, we don't help them by telling them getting off the medicine. We help them by bringing them the Word of God. And as they talk with us, say, have you ever thought about working on this? Have you worked with your doctor? Tell me what has happened. You know? One time I had a lady, she heard me speak, and she went out and quit taking the medicine. She almost died. And I told her the same thing I just told you. Don't, if you're taking medicine, don't go out and stop. But she did. She went out and stopped. She went cold turkey. She almost died. Because she'd been on lithium for like 10 years. Let me tell you something. You get off that stuff, it'll stop your heart. I mean, it's dangerous. So I just want to encourage you to be aware of those things, know those things. the best person to know. By the way, did you know this? Most doctors really don't know about the medicine. They know what the reps told them, and they do that. Let me tell you where you go have to know about your medicine. Go to your pharmacist. Like when I have medicine or I'm going to take something, I go to the pharmacist and I say, okay, tell me what the side effect's going to be. And it's interesting. Most people I counsel, sometimes they come and they're on some medicine, they're having some problems. They'll ask me a question. I say, have you been to your pharmacy? They go to the pharmacy and all the stuff they're coming to me for counseling is side effects. You know, I'm getting really depressed. Well, guess what one of the side effects is? Depression. I'm having a problem sleeping at nighttime. Guess what one of the side effects was? Insomnia. You know, Brother Johnny's not no brilliant person. Just go ask the doctors. Go ask the pharmacists. They will tell you. The doctors are not going to know. They're not trained in that. They're trained. They have reps that come and tell them. It's the pharmacist that knows what that medicine's doing. So I would encourage you to check on that if you're involved with that. Now, let's move on to the stuff that we like to talk about, the biblical stuff on God's way. Basic view of man is that we're a sinner, but we need to become a saint. Look, this is one of the most glorious verses in the scriptures for me. I tell you, it was such an encouraging thing to me. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, because this really got hold of my life. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Now, I want you to stop there for a minute. The old things have passed away. Who do you think brings up your previous sins that you've already repented of? Huh? The enemy. It's not God. He done died for those sins. He don't bring up your previous sins. Now, if you ain't repented, he's going to deal with you, your sin. But once you repent and you turn from him, he's not bringing them up. It's Satan bringing them up. Why? Because it's done passed away. It's no longer binding you down. You're free to walk in Christ. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what? That's what God has given to us as all, as believers in Christ. We were sinners, but now we're new. And because we're new, we don't have to live the way we used to live. Matter of fact, now we have the ability to change. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And the Holy Spirit is the most powerful person on this earth in us. It's the Spirit of Christ. Go on and look at the cause of the problem. God says the cause of the problem is we rebelled against God. We had unbelief. We have disobedience. We had denial of God's power. We see all these verses here. We're not going to look up each and every one of them. But what's the cure? To be saved by grace through faith. We know that is our memory verse. And in loving obedience to God, be mature in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn over here to Ephesians 5. I know we've looked at that in the past. Probably last week y'all looked at that, but I just love it, so I'm going to go back and talk about it again. I wasn't here last week. I'd talk a little bit about it this week. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Now the imperative, but be filled with the Spirit. That's not an option. That's not if you feel like doing it and you want to have a good Christian life. God says that's a command. We're to be filled with the Spirit. But then he tells us how to be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even our Father. So we see, first off, we should be speaking psalms and hymns and singing songs and making melody in our heart, praising the Lord. We need to be praying, as he says in verse 20. We need to be praying. We need to be singing. But also, I want you to turn over into Colossians 3:16. And look what God says here in Colossians 3:16. He says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." And then he goes on to say some of the same things: "With all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." You see, that's how we fill with the Spirit, by letting the Word of God richly dwell in us, by letting the Word of God change us as we worship Him and we pray to Him. But also, look at verse 17 there. What does it say? "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." You see, walking in the Spirit is not jumping the pews. Walking in the Spirit is not running up and down the aisle. Walking in the Spirit is being filled with the Spirit, having the Spirit controlling your life, so that your life is a bundle of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. That's what being part of the fruit of the Spirit, the being filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's what God says that we need. We need to be changed by the power of the Word. I want you to turn over. I got a couple of Lanyap things I want to give you. You know what Lanyap is, huh? Something free, something extra. I ain't going to charge you for it. I want you to turn over to Philippians 2:12. Just as we're talking about sanctification and the power of God in our lives, you know, sometimes we get it mixed up. Sometimes we on this side where we're man's responsibility. We got to do all the work. By the way, God is not going to come down here and pray for you. God is not going to come down here and read your Bible for you. You got to do that yourself, okay? Now, it's the Spirit of God working in you, encouraging you to do it, but you got to do it. But then we got to remember that's still God working in our lives. Now, look here what it says in verse 12 of chapter 2 of Philippians. It says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And the word here that he uses, the literal translation, could be "bring to conclusion." And it's talking about a math problem. You just like you work out your math problem to a conclusion, that's what he's saying. Work out your salvation to the conclusion. What is the conclusion? You look like Jesus. You see, that's the goal of every biblical counselor. Did you know that? You go and look right now. There's over 500 psychological models of counseling, and none of them agree with each other on what the finished product is supposed to look like. But you walk into the office of any true biblical counselor, you know what the final product is supposed to look like? Jesus. Amen? Now, you know, we read this verse here and we say, man, it's all on our back. We got to work it out. We got to bring it to the conclusion. But look what God says here in verse 13. "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." You see, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of sanctification. Yes, we do our best. We do what we're supposed to do. We read our Bible. We pray. We study. But it's God working in us. It's God that's going to take us through it. It's still grace. It's all of God. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of sanctification, is that God is working in us. For every step we take, God takes us two more steps. Matter of fact, if you go, we don't have time to do it today because we've been rattling along. But Colossians 1:27 through 29, if you go look at it, verse 29 is awesome. What Paul says there is this: "He who is working in me mightily." And what he's talking about there is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the picture is this. Paul says, I take a step with the gospel, and the Holy Spirit takes me two more. I take a step with the gospel, and the Holy Spirit takes me two more. You see, that's what God does. God is not in opposition to human effort. God works with human effort. And the more you give to God, the more God takes you. So I just want to encourage you, don't back down from your responsibility, but Know that God is working in you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the power of God working in you. We see counseling techniques: listen, reprove, encourage, admonish, stimulate, strengthen, restore, teach, train. Those are all good words, and they're all biblical words, as you see through here. The counselor's terminology: put off sin, put off the old man, put on the new man. You know, one of the things that it doesn't talk about here, and I think it should and it will as you get into the book a little bit later, but, you know, we're going after the heart. We're not going after behavior. Listen, somebody comes in, they're coming in because of behavior problems. Like when you're going to get your first counseling, if you hadn't had it yet, you get a couple walk in, you know what's the first thing they're going to say? Well, we're here because this guy treats me bad, and we're here because this woman won't obey me, or she won't do what I want her to do. Well, you know what? Pretty soon you listen about 10, 15 minutes, and it's all about behavior. Ain't nobody talking about the real issue. You see, the real issue is back on that chart I gave y'all in week two. It's the heart. See, you get to the heart, the behavior cleans up. You don't change the heart. All you're doing is, you know, basically putting a Band-Aid on a wide-open wound. You know, I can get anybody to behave themselves a little better, particularly if I give them a little motivation. You know, I mean, no offense. You know, a guy will behave himself if he'll get a little sex that night. He'll behave himself, but he ain't fixing the problem. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. See, the problem's with the heart. Got to go after the heart, man. Don't settle for the behavior. Go after the heart, because that's what God does. Now we look at counseling focus. Deny self. Please God and bless others through ministry and service. Listen, I tell you, so many times we place such an emphasis on behavior. Even as biblical counselors, if you don't watch yourself, you get to where you're dealing with behavior, and that's not the real issue. The real issue is the heart. You get that heart right, everything else is going to fall in place. Behavior will get cleaned up. Now, let's turn over to page 75, example of man's way compared to God's way. Man's way, Proverbs 14:12. Who wants to look that up for me? I'm going to look up the other verse. Somebody looks up Proverbs 14:12 for me. I'm going to look up Proverbs 30. Yes, ma'am.
There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death.
Did you hear that? Read that again for us a little louder.
There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death.
You see, that's what happens to the natural man. He's looking at that path. He's looking at the things that the world promises. But it's not true. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Two things I ask of you, and do not refuse me before I die. Did I go too far? I sure did. I'm sorry. Verses 5 and 6 was all text that they pointed to. So we see God's way is much better. God's way is a shield for us. Notice along the examples, I just want to point out a couple to you. My problems. The world's way says, we sometimes think no one can really understand my problems. And we may believe that each problem and set of circumstances are unique. But your problems are common to mankind. God promises to help you through them so that you do not have to sin or lose your peace and joy if you will choose to live life His way. You know, so many times people will come in and they'll go, Brother Johnny, you just don't know. You just don't know how my husband is. I'm going, really? Tell me how he is. You know, when they get done, I'm going, wow, he sounds like a sinner just like the rest of us. You know, the truth of the matter is, and I don't want to play it off because I don't when I'm counseling someone, but the reality is there's nothing new under the sun. Now, there may be some more perversion that maybe you haven't been exposed to, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've been counseling now 16 years, I've seen ministers fall and do things that the Lord is just so sad about. And I've seen folks and marriages do things to each other that are just awful. And when I sit down with folks, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, they'll tell me, and they'll say, you know, you probably never heard this before. And I just say, well, tell me what you got. You know, it's sad. Because Satan has deceived us into thinking we're the only ones doing that. Are we the only one that's got a problem? Nobody else got a problem like that. And friends, I want to tell you, everything is common. Now, you may not have a certain problem with that thing, but you know what? You got a problem with something else. And all sin is common to man. And we need to realize that. And we also need to remember this. If not for the grace of God, they'd be behind the desk, and you'd be on the other side asking for help. That's why we need to have a humble heart and a gentle heart. You know, I cry a lot. I just have to be honest with you. I cry a lot. I cry over sin. In my life, I hate it, but I cry when they come in. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times when they've left the door, I say bye, and I shut the door, and I go sit at my desk, and I just weep on my table because of the pain of the sin. Sin crushes. Sin kills marriages and relationships and families. And it just, I mean, I almost get sick. And there's been times when, to be honest with you, I had to quit counseling because I had took too much counseling on. And I got sick, physically sick, from trying to help folks. And what you have to do, though, is you have to be wise. You have to keep your heart clean. You have to stay close to the Lord. But you know what happens to a lot of us, particularly folks that, you know, maybe are just starting out in counseling. You start helping people, and all of a sudden people's lives start changing. People in your church, their lives start changing. And then all of a sudden, you know, pretty soon you just load it down with counseling. And you're not taking care of your own heart. And one day you wake up and you're exhausted. One day you wake up and you're discouraged and you're depressed and you're tired and you can't function. You got to take care of your heart. You got to take care of your heart. You got to be right with the Lord because you can't help nobody else if you're not. And don't let yourself get too busy. Listen, there are other brothers and sisters that can help. You're not the only one that can counsel. I had to learn that. Because everybody kept coming to me. You know, at one time I had 18 appointments a week. That was too much. And I was working a full-time job. I was a layperson like most of you. And I was doing all that counseling. And I'm going to tell you what, it almost killed me. You know, and then a couple of times when I got into ministry full-time, I got so busy, you know, people coming. And all of a sudden, it's not like it's the 1 hour in the office. I'm getting calls at the house. I'm getting calls 2-3 times a week where they need help. They're hurting. That's where I learned. I said, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I got to get some folks to help me. So now, like when somebody comes to my church or somebody comes to me for counseling and say they're not in a church and I bring them into my church, you know what's the first thing I do? I put a couple with them. I said, you hang out with these folks. They're going to teach you the Christian life. And they walk with them. And you know most of the help they need? They get from that couple. Now, I still meet with them to eventually they say, we don't need you no more. And I say, well, praise the Lord. And I go on about my business and help the next person. And that couple keeps helping them and loves on them and teaches them the Christian faith. Because that's what the body of Christ is supposed to do, you know. But we need to remember that everything, sin is common to man. Let's turn over one more thing I just want to point out to you. Head down here about problems on page 76 up at the top. Examples, problem and conflicts. Man's ways to avoid problems and do everything we can to get out of them. We look for excuses to shift blame to others. We fail to admit we even have problems or say there is someone else's fault. God's way is conflicts and problems are for your good and for your spiritual growth. Thanks, God. Thank you, Lord. They help you to see what is within yourself and rejoice that God uses them to bring you to maturity. Let me tell you something. You're never going to grow if you don't have problems. So you might as well get ready for them. You're going to have problems. And that's okay. That's God's plan to help you grow. There's a wonderful book called The Peacemaker. If you have never heard of this book and you get a chance, go online and just read a little bit about it. Ken Sandy is the author of this book. And The Peacemaker is a really neat book because what it does is it teaches you how to deal with conflict. And I did it as a men's Bible study about 11 years ago. And there was a gentleman came out of there, him and his boss had fired him because he was making too much money. He was making more money than the boss as a salesman. So he went out and started his own business doing the same stuff and wound up competing with his boss. And there was a lot of bitterness on both their parts. He went through this peacemaker, and he called up his boss. He sat down with him, asked for forgiveness. His boss asked for forgiveness, and they agreed not to compete against each other and went on about their business. And he told me, he said, "Brother Johnny, this thing has changed my life." He's in our church today. He's a wonderful leader in our church and a great man of God. He got over the obstacle of bitterness and unforgiveness. And you see, that's what God wants to do in all lives, in everyone's lives. So I just want to encourage you with that. Read through your homework for this week is letter A, letter C, and letter K. A, C, and K. Now, if you have the time, you go through and do as much as you can on this stuff because ain't nothing going to hurt you. You're going to learn. Remember, if you want to be good at something, you're going to have to do more than what the teacher asks you. So you do what you want to do. But if you have some extra time, go and study through there. Just go through and read what it tells you to do. Like when I went through this book, I went through all the homework in this thing. And but you do what you can do. Some folks don't have the time to do that. But I would encourage you to do whatever you can do because it's profitable for you. It's going to help you with your learning. So, any questions? Ken Sandy. Sandy. You know, he has a ministry now. He's a Christian lawyer. And what he does is he goes around to Christian businesses and other businesses where they're having conflict. He goes in and helps them work through it and settle stuff that's in court, mitigation, stuff like that. He does that. Let me tell you, there's a powerful story that I heard about recently about this pastor. He was talking about how he led this guy to Christ who owned this big chain or something. Anyway, he led him to Christ, and there was another guy in his church who was a church member, and he had sued this guy. Because there were some things that went on, and it really was something that probably shouldn't have been suing about. But what had happened was he had built a track for his son, race a little go-kart track, and he had some others come over, and they make this loud noise. And the guy reported him and wound up suing him, and it was in court and all this. Well, this guy got saved, and after a couple of months, he went to the pastor. He said, "Look," he said, "we've been having this lawsuit on us, you know. We've had this lawsuit against this guy, and I want you to know, would you go with me and help me to talk to this brother about it?" So they go. He goes over with the pastor and sits down. And here's a new believer, 2 months been saved. He goes and sits down with this guy that's been saved for years who he was suing, and he says to him, he says, "Listen," he said, "you know, I'm really sorry, and, you know, I'd like to work something out. You know, I was building something for my son. I had it for my son, and I'd like to work it out for us to, you know, for me not to sue you. And can we work out something?" He said, "If I have to, I'll tear down the whole thing. I'm going to tear it down. But can we work out something?" They wind up settling the issue with the pastor sitting there and working out a deal to go and do the same thing they both wanted to do, but they were able to do it apart. And it was a testimony to God's grace. And you see, that's what God can do when we're willing to humble ourselves and examine our hearts. Now, Matt, I want you to go turn this thing off because I want to ask him a question, and I don't want this recorded.